Welcome to the inaugural Kill Rock podcast episode. Today we have Hearts Like Lions, and this song is called These Hands. Said, welcome to the inaugural Kill Rock podcast. This podcast is not just dedicated towards the bands that we interview, the bands that we talk to. It's also dedicated towards the music industry and everyone that partakes in that industry. I just graduated from the Musicians Institute in Hollywood for the music business program. It's funny, one of the things that we talked about a lot, especially in my last quarter, was the access that streaming creates. That's like Spotify, that's like Beats. Just the easiness it brings to the table when it comes to people listening to actual music. And that's one thing we talked to Hearts Like Lions about, Nick from Hearts Like Lions, about, because for their EP, These Hands, They kind of go gung-ho about Spotify. They're not necessarily saying, you know, buy it on iTunes, you know, listen to it on Spotify. That's where they're going for. And, you know, at first you're kind of like, why? You're not going to make money that way. But the reason why they're doing it is because they want people to listen to their music. We talk about them funding their album through Kickstarter. We talked to them about, you know, how they plan to actually make that money back, and you'll get to that when we get to the actual interview. But one thing that was funny yesterday, which was July 17th of 2014, the band I Am Empire, and I don't know if this is a new trend to post your royalty statements online, but I Am Empire did so, and I Am Empire, if you don't know, they're a band from Northern California, I believe around the San Jose area. They signed to Tooth & Nail Records I remember a few years ago, I actually interviewed Eric, the drummer for Indie Vision Music, and they're really nice dudes. Sweet band. They have some really great jams. I don't know how active they are nowadays, but yesterday they posted their royalty statement, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen it, but if you haven't, this is basically a glimpse into an independent art and indie artist on an indie label. And it shows, you know, they had 500,000 internet radio streams on this quarterly statement. And the total royalty portion was 58 cents per band member. And I believe they're a five-piece. 58 cents for 500,000 internet radio plays. If that was 500,000 album sales, geez Louise. That's a lot more than 58 cents. It really is. And then it gets to the Spotify. They had 50,000, nearly 50,000 streams, and they only made $3.35. You know, I'm not going to say that Spotify is the devil. It is the devil if you're trying to make money, but it does have its place as of right now. And that place is for promotional purposes, not necessarily a payment purpose. I do believe, as long as the copyright, the copyright law somehow gets changed in the next few years to boost up that statutory rate for internet streaming or whatever, I don't think Spotify is going to be a great way to make money. And I don't think bands and artists should really complain about it, because they're the ones that are putting their music on there. Like, I don't understand why, you know, if you don't like the fact that, and I understand that if you're signed to a label like I Am Empire is, you know, you're kind of stuck. The label's going to put your music on Spotify. But, you know, there has to be another way for you to make money. And for most of these bands, it's touring. All the bands that I know that have signed to a record label, indie or major, they're making their money off touring. They're always touring. You look at Facebook and you look at Instagram and you see your favorite bands, and what are all the pictures of? They're not from them being at home. They're from them being on tour over 300 days a year. I do think that one thing that might change it, and whether you disagree or not, I think the fact that vinyl is making its comeback, I think that's a game changer, especially in the streaming world, because the real fans, they're going to want to buy that product. They're not going to want to just go on Spotify, and they're not going to just want to listen to your jams. With advertising, or they don't want to pay, you know, just $9.99 a month just to listen to your music. If they're your real fans, they're going to want to buy that experience that you're providing for them. And whether that's vinyl, whether that's pillowcases, whether that's beer pong balls in, cups. That was one thing that was funny. We played a show when I was in a band. We were playing in Lancaster, California, and we were playing with Lower Definition, Jamie's Elsewhere, No Bragging Rights, and we just got on as the opening band, and our merch table was sat next to Lower Definition, and we were looking at their merch, and yeah, they did have beer pong and cups right there for the taking, had their names branded on it, and people want that. I'm not a big fan of beer pong, but you know what? There's a lot of people that are, and there's a lot of people that will buy that. But like I was saying, you know, your fans are going to want to buy the experience that you provide for them. They're not going to just want to listen to your music on Spotify. You know, it's a time for artists to become creative. You know, when Led Zeppelin came out, when they signed to Atlantic, you know, they came out with the long album. You know, they decided, hey, you know what? We don't want you to sell our singles. We want to sell a full album. We want our fans to have the experience of what we have written. We don't want people to get a glimpse of our album through one song. We want them to get the full experience. And I think that's what we need to do nowadays, especially bands. You know, you're not going to sell your albums anymore. There are other ways you could do it, but it's not going to be through digital downloads. And I'm sorry, it's not going to be through CDs anymore. You know, people are just going to go on Pirate Bay and they're just going to go on other torrent sites and they're going to download your album. And if you think putting a special DVD is going to fix it, no, they're going to find your DVD too. And I know I sound a little aggressive, and I'm sorry for sounding aggressive. I'm not really an aggressive person, but it's just the day and age we live in. We have some jams for you from the band Hearts Like Lions. We have their interview up next with Nick, their drummer. And thank you for downloading the Kill Rock podcast. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Kill Rock Podcast. Also, we're on Facebook. We're going to do our best to keep you updated with all the content that we can provide. We're going to get some huge bands. We're going to get some small bands. We're going to get some industry people to come in and interview with us and let you know what it's like to be in the industry. Like I said, we have Hearts Like Lions, and this song is called Wake Up. Make
right, we're here with Nick from Hearts Like Lions. How you doing, Nick?
How's it going, man?
So Hearts Like Lions, you came out with an EP recently called These Hands?
Yes.
Yes. How many songs on it? Seven?
Six.
Six songs?
Six track EP.
Okay. And what's the story behind the EP? Like, when did you start recording it? Like, you know, how was that process?
We started writing it about a year ago and recorded it in January. It was funded through Kickstarter.
Oh.
We launched that Kickstarter in December 2013. Mm-hmm. And I think we shot about $500 over our goal.
Oh, wow.
By the end of the...
And how much was your goal?
$3,000? No, I'm sorry. It was $5,000
okay,
in 30 days.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
What did you do to promote that Kickstarter? Because I know a lot of bands have tried that a lot in the last couple of years.
A lot of it was relentlessly every day posting about it somewhere mm-hmm. on social media and spamming the family and just mm-hmm. kind of going nuts for 30 days, just making sure we exhausted every avenue possible in promoting it.
It's awesome.
Very stressful.
I bet. Yeah, it's always stressful. It's stressful enough recording an album, not just raising the funds for it. It must have been really, really difficult. How much was the record?
It was $3,000.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah, and then we set aside the other $2,000 to get everybody's incentives out for mm-hmm. Kickstarter, and that was actually still short some money, so we still have to pay out of pocket a little bit.
What were those incentives?
For different levels of donation, people got different prizes. I think the lowest prize was a free digital download for $5.
Okay.
And then after that, you get a free CD, you get a shirt, and you get hoodies and vinyl and stickers. And then in the $100 range, when it got crazy, this one girl and her mom got the $300, and we had to take them out to breakfast.
Oh, wow.
And then,
that's an early morning.
Yeah, yeah. And then Steven's girlfriend actually gave the biggest donation. It was a $1,500 donation. He got my drum set, and then they're getting everything down the line.
Well, shoot.
From the pricing. I know, so.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, man.
Hearts Like Lions, a three-piece band, am I right? What's your guys' story? How'd you guys get started?
Hearts Like Lions started in 2011, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an original member, but around that time, there was always kind of a lineup, a crazy situation, and there came a time when a couple dudes quit, and the drummer quit right before a couple shows,
mm-hmm.
and so Steven called me pretty frantic, and I was playing for Dynasty, so I had loved the band prior to being in it, and so mm-hmm. I was like, all right, yeah, and since then we've toured a couple times, and I found it actually picking up a lot of momentum to where I'm still in Dynasty, but this is kind of.
Do you know Jordan Sandoval?
I do.
Oh my God, that kid gets around everywhere.
that guy has taken some really good photos, though.
Yes, he does. He's a really, really good friend of ours. He actually, if you listen to our EP, he screams on it.
Freaking Jordan. he's always like, you know how he always have friends who do guest vocals?
Yeah, he does. He's not really a friend that does guest vocals. He just jumps on stage.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Josh Scoggin mentality.
Oh, no.
That's, yeah. What are you guys' plans for the EP and for the future, I suppose?
Just for this EP, mm-hmm. It got a really good response.
Mm-hmm.
We're surprised at the feedback that we've been getting, so we want to give it the life it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to do a couple tours off of it. Even that might sound crazy to do a couple tours off an EP, but
yeah.
I think that this is something we've been eager to do mm-hmm. for a long time, so we're just... I'm going to do it and see what happens. So within the next year, you'll see a lot of us doing two-week runs
mm-hmm.
around the U.S. or hopefully getting a full length out by mm-hmm. next year.
Are there plans to sign to a label or keep doing a DIY?
Right now we've got two offers from two labels,
okay.
very relevant labels at this time. And we're in the process of courting and kind of talking about everything and getting details tweaked.
Okay.
Making sure it's something we actually benefit off of, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
What is your main priority? Is it going to be Dynasty or is it going to be Hearts Like Lions? Or are you going to be able to find that middle ground?
For me, personally, after a lot of prayer and thinking through, I personally have always had the goal to make money off of playing music. And mm-hmm. I think that... the indie route is the way I see myself going for the next couple of years. So Hearts of Lions is definitely going to start taking more precedent in what I do, but I've kind of reserved a spot for Dynasty to kind of just go off and like really have a blast. Because if I'm honest, the most alive I've ever felt at live shows are at the Dynasty shows.
Like, right.
Those are the funnest ever.
That is a dynamic Dynasty compared to Hearts Like Lions.
Very.
And what's the longest song on the Dynasty album?
Probably like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Yeah, dude. Did you get it? Do you have it?
I've listened to it. Oh, yeah. And then I read the review because I used to work with IndieVision. So I think the review was pretty nice, though.
What?
Yeah, I remember it being pretty nice. You guys are really promoting your album for Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I see, not so much on iTunes. Do you think Spotify is the way, basically, of the future? Not just for your band, but for every up-and-coming band.
Yeah, I mean, I think the internet kind of, everybody, it's like a big duh moment when we say the internet totally reshaped what the music industry is. And so now people can have exactly what they want whenever they want it. And so I've been pushing the Spotify because I just want people to hear the songs and listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go and pay for that, then that's obviously their choice. And seeing that, like, people are willing to buy it is also very, very cool. But I think the future of music is on, like, a DIY indie level is probably going to blow up. I think that a lot of bands, like Macklemore is unsigned, and a lot of bands are going to see that and see that they don't, for lack of a better word, they don't have to be held by the balls by record labels.
Right.
They can do it all on their own.
I read an article on Digital Music News saying that streaming services weren't necessarily going to make a relevant deal regarding money-wise. Do you think that's true?
Streaming services like Spotify?
Like Spotify, Beats, whatever. What do you think about the ways you can make money through that? And do you think it'll be more relevant in 2019 compared to where it is now?
That's a good question, man. I think kind of looking at the pace of it, I mean, a lot of the friends that I've asked, like, oh, have you checked out our album? They're like, oh, yeah, listen to it on Spotify. I think with that, kind of looking at that and through that lens, it'll, I think it's definitely possible that that's more of what the future looks like for it.
Mm-hmm. So do you see iTunes as a dying breed?
No, I know that Apple has, like, been able to keep their products in the market and just keep everything saturated with it, and people love it. Do I see like customers getting smarter and finding ways around like Apple, iTunes in specific? Yes. I think that
especially with piracy, and now you have these streaming service. I mean, you can listen to Spotify. You don't have to pay for Spotify to even listen on your phone anymore.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you can.
How do you think you could, Hearts Like Lions, Dynasty, whatever band, how do you think you could benefit from piracy or streaming or whatever? Like, not having people buy your albums, just taking it, in a sense.
So pretty much, like, how can we benefit off of not making money off our music?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. That's pretty interesting to think about. There will be people will have more opportunities to stream music through bigger websites, and that being said, the independent artist is going to have like still be able to hold a lot more sway in what they do, and so I think booking agents and managers will like are already seeing that, and like you don't have to be on a label to have a manager, right, or a booking agent, and so for bands like Hearts Like Lions and Dynasty, we'll be able to still, like, you know, keep a very good momentum and keep up with our peers and, like, kind of move forward on top of the fuel, which is that those kinds of websites that, you know, distribute our music for free to people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And money usually comes in for merch and...
Yeah.
Touring anyways.
Touring and stuff, yeah. What are the influences of Hearts Like Lions? Because you could listen to them and be like, I could see something, but then there's little things that throw you off.
Dude, When people ask me personally, I think it's like As Cities Burn, Circus Survive, and Switchfoot.
Switchfoot.
Yes.
Switchfoot.
Switchfoot.
That's like left field right there.
Yeah, yeah. But like there were just little. I love Switchfoot. I really like that band.
So I could hear As Cities Burn. Mm-hmm. Circus Survive, I understand that. Switchfoot.
Mainly being the song Stranger. It's mm-hmm. the second track off this one. It's I remember when we were writing that song, one of our friends was helping us kind of put the chord structures together, and there's a part at the end of the bridge where we hit it's a C note and mm-hmm. the song's chord key in D. Anyways, he was like, oh, like we should do this little Switchfooty thing, because if you listen to Stars by Switchfoot,
okay,
they do the exact same thing,
yeah,
in their song. But yeah,
that's pretty gnarly. Not something I'd expect.
But when you get like an indie kid like Luke and Steven, then me, I've been so involved in the hardcore circuit for the last 3 years, and you kind of just have to write music. Like, pretty cool stuff has been coming out. Like, a good blend of energy and like melodic, like chill, you know, interesting music.
Yeah. Well, now, like, you know, we're talking about the music that you guys kind of come from. It's halfway through 2014. What are some of the albums that you have liked that have come out this year?
Oh, man. For me, personally, I think the album that really impressed me was Bane, Don't Wait Up.
The last album?
Their last album, man. When I heard that, I was blown away.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of, like, left field, maybe.
No,
that album, and I'm trying to think of, like, I don't know. I haven't really... Ben, when I'm at work, I usually just stick to the same like five artists, and those include like Suicidal and Bad Religion, pretty much, and
very punk
all
rock.
Their other punk bands. Yeah. So I heard a lot about the new Bane album, and when I listened to it, I was like, wow, like you don't normally hear an older band's new album and be stoked on it, but I kind of hold the opinion that Don't Wait Up is probably one of the best
really
Bane albums, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't know. Many people would agree with that, but I think
it's great because a lot of it's not just like a lot of consumers' picks; it's a lot of the band's picks.
Yeah,
like I remember, you know, looking at Touche Amore's Instagram, and they're like celebrating the new Bane album. I think some of them are even at the show, and you know, a lot of people are considering that maybe album of the year. And if you're gonna think competitively, yeah,
I would totally back album of the year for that one. I was blown away.
What would you consider Hearts Like Lions? Would you consider you guys a Christian band or a Christian-esque band?
We're kind of approached with this question a lot. I guess we are all Christian dudes.
Okay.
All three of us. And when our band, we're not a worship band. Straight up. We don't. Okay. We're not. Our goal is not to be playing churches in 10 years, you know? We want to. This band, if I could say, I guess, said as simple as I could say it, would be we write songs about like whatever we really want to write about. And if those songs happen to be about God, then they will. But I know on this EP, there's a couple songs that are blatantly about God and others about relationships and change and. Life. I want it to be a very honest band. Like, if you look at Emery, when they left Tooth and Nail, they started Bad Christian, and that blog has been causing so much controversy in like, for people who are really theologically, like, you know, sound and, like, you know, like a lot of the things that they post are, like, even I kind of find myself, like, what the heck? But seeing that, like, that's kind of a route that I want to see Hearts Like Lions going is... brutally honest.
I think that's funny because I was actually, because I listened to their interview with Stephen Christian from Amberlin, and I was telling my girlfriend about that on the way over here, and it's funny because you hear like these, and I think it's great because I think Stephen Christian, you know, you don't see a lot of like, you know, Stephen Christian's like a Christian kind of thing. You see him in Amberlin. I mean, as opposed to Chris Dudley, who under oath, they claim to be Christian, like basically the whole way through. But it's refreshing to hear from these musicians, you know, about their actual faith. And, whether or not, you know, whatever they believe in, they believe that Jesus is the, you know, is the risen God, and I think that's great. I think I was actually going to ask you about Bad Christian, but more so towards Tim Lamnesis, because they had the guy that did the interview with him. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a lot. I think it's funny because when that interview came out, a lot of people kind of bypassed the fact that he said that a lot of these Christian bands aren't really Christian. They kind of just jumped on this actual story at hand and his relationship with Azalea Dying. But what do you think about supposed Christian bands selling their Christianity rather than, you know, basically be, we're all hypocrites, but not being honest?
The judgmental side of me, which is a, you know, a big side of me, if I'm being honest, like, because I mean, I've just been raised in a culture that's very judgmental. I think that part of me wants to say, like, wow, like that's just kind of messed up, and I feel angry about that. But then I like to, if I'm looking at it from kind of zooming out, I realize that, like, that same concept of people kind of pushing the gospel in out of bad motives is something biblical that Paul does talk about. And what he says is, like, despite the fact that these people are preaching Christ out of envy or out of a bad heart, like, I rejoice because Christ is still preached. Like, if you listen to the first, like, Attack album,
yeah,
you know, like, it's a lot about God, and, you know, you see kind of that band, you know, the direction they went, like, nothing against that band at all. I actually,
and even of even of Mice and Men, because yes. I believe it is an AP magazine. He talks about his upbringing in the church, or his, not his upbringing, but his relationship with the church, and at the time of Attack.
So I think for bands that do that, I hope they know what they're getting themselves into. And personally, I kind of hold the view that, like, kind of like just kind of selling a popular belief such as that for a quick buck is kind of lame. But it's not something I would ever, like, see. Like, Hearts of Glands will always be Christian dudes playing music. I don't know. I that's kind of like, I don't want to, like, just slap labels on, like, bands and say, like, they went from Christian to not Christian. You know, like, who knows what's going on in their lives,
right?
You know,
does it raise a question now to fans that are going to go see these bands? Does it raise a question, like, I remember hearing something like, maybe I read something, the reason why it is sad, because a lot of these fans are saying, oh man, this band, I love them, I got saved because I was listening to this band, and then they kind of hear, and they're still newer Christians,
yeah,
and then they find out what's really going on.
Looking at it from that point of view, yes, that's kind of tragic. It's like, you know, seeing the youth pastor that helped bring you to Christ, like, just totally, you know, go down a bad path.
Yeah,
that would be kind of devastating. So yes, looking at it through that lens is, yeah, that's pretty disappointing. But
it's a crazy life we live, but I guess that's just life, right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Like, life's always going to be some type of tragedy, no matter what you believe.
It'll always happen, I think. That's why we write songs, man. We cope with them, you know?
Where do you see Hearts Like Lions in the next, maybe, let's not go 5 years, let's go 3 years.
Ooh.
How many albums, how many tours?
Realistically? Probably one album out, tracking a second album, you know, having a lot of tours under the belt by then. And at that point, man, like, I want to get to a point where, like, you know, Hearts Like Lions becomes something that people, like, actually care about. Yeah. You know, like, something that, you know, people, when they think of that band or they think of, you know, the music, it's something that is fond to them. And that's more of what I'm going for. I want there to be longevity. Like, not just, like, not hype, man.
Right.
No hype. I prefer it just be a slow, grueling process than get really hyped up in 3 years, like, die, you know?
Yeah. A one-hit wonder.
No, I want to give every album the life it, like I said, like, the life it deserves. And take our time, man. It's all, I think when it comes down to it, for bands, say that they forget the fact that they're writing songs, mm-hmm. and like that's what needs to carry the band. Mm-hmm. So these songs have to be on point. Mm-hmm. That's what we care about.
Now, as a three-piece, is there plans for maybe a fourth, or are you going to stick to three?
I think we're going to need a fourth. Yeah, okay. Man.
So you're hearing it first here.
Yeah, yeah, you are. we need someone who definitely cares about the band.
And guitar player? Or
someone who knows how to play their stuff and cares about how they play. But, yes, a second guitarist.
So calling all guitar players.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be gnarly.
Yeah, yeah, but we eventually would like to have a fourth member.
It's good at going in the studio with three members, though.
Oh, yeah. It was actually just Steven and I.
Oh, really?
We went, yeah. Okay. I tracked drums, and Steven literally did everything else.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then it was... So basically, is Steven the only original member?
Fun story. Luke's playing bass for us now. Mm-hmm. He quit for a while and then rejoined.
Okay. So it's one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no, but yeah, kind of.
Okay. So he's the one that's been around the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Been, yeah. So Hearts Like Lions is basically his baby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When did I know we got the story about how you joined? How long has Hearts Like Lions been around?
I believe 2 to 3 years.
Two to three years.
2.5 years. 2011 or 2012. I don't remember. Sadly.
And already record contracts.
I know. Well, that's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of it kind of seemed too good to be true, but mm-hmm. you know, which it could be, mm-hmm. but.
But it's good music, and I think that's what labels are looking for. I mean, labels are looking for someone to sell, and, you know, either you're going to sell a pretty face or you're going to sell a good song.
That's the thing, man. Like, I remember I met with a guy named Billy. He was in Confide. Kind of mentors us. And
oh, really?
When I told him about the labels, we met up and got coffee, and he was like, I bet you're just so stoked right now. And I was like, you know, man, I know what record. Just be careful, you know, like don't let them, like, not, I try not to get sweet talked, yeah. you know.
But it's different because you're already on a band that's signed. In a band that's
signed. Oh, yeah, for Dynasty, yeah that's, and then seeing kind of how, what I liked or disliked or didn't, not dislike, but would have favored more, be something different mm-hmm. About that, kind of seeing that and wanting to do it through kind of already being in a signed experience.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how many tours have you guys done?
Three.
Three tours?
Hearts Like Lions done three tours.
Three tours? Were they all with hotel books?
No. The most recent one was a month long. That was with hotel books. Mm-hmm. Before that, we did a tour with Lisa Bees. Then before that, it was with our friend. It was a band from Orange County that broke up. But, yeah.
That's great. That's not too bad. How far have you guys gone?
This last tour we went to Michigan and toured all the way there. Yeah, that was an experience, man. That was cold.
Yeah, there's some crazy people in Michigan.
Yeah, oh, there was some crazy things in Michigan, man. We almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning. like telling everybody that story, but it was like 14 degrees outside and we were in the basement. And Dan and Whit from Hotel Books like slept in the basement and then wouldn't wake up, and then we had to carry him upstairs and get everybody out of the house.
Oh my God!
And yeah, they were about 30 minutes away from meeting Jesus, man. It was.
You see, Cam did not tell me this story.
At the time, it was overwhelming and like crazy, but now it's just like, dude. Yeah. So that we went. That it was like kind of a full U.S. the last tour.
Okay, that's awesome. Is there plans for, you know, going further, like Europe, Canada?
Oh yeah.
Canada's not that much further, but.
Pretty much any opportunity that's going to present itself to us, we're going to heavily consider doing it.
Awesome.
I would love to tour in Canada, even go places that kind of freak me out, you know? Like,
yeah.
If we get them, I don't know if bands ever tour in the Middle East. I think they do, but I don't know, maybe.
You have to get on like a special circuit to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Comeback Kid played in Israel, though, a couple months ago, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, they're special. I'm pretty sure there are special deals.
Safe circuits.
Yeah. Any last things you want to say to anyone listening?
Get the record.
Get the record.
Listen to it on Spotify. If you have a friend that has it, just take it from them.
Anything you want to say to Cam Smith?
Oh, man, there's a lot of things I could say to Cam Smith. Just tell him whenever he comes by, just look, like, not throw. When they stayed here, they threw an entire telephone book in that fire pit outside, and the whole place was ash ridden the next day. So Cam, just stop doing that kind of stuff.
All right, Nick, it was really nice to meet you. Nice, so glad to have you. Hope you you know what? Next time, let's try to get Steven and maybe do an acoustic deal or something.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. Have like a full band thing. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening, go check out Hearts Like Lions and their EP, These Hands. Anywhere we can find you on Twitter, Facebook, whatever.
Twitter, HLL Official. Instagram is Hearts Like Lions, HLL.
HLL.
I never was one to voice one old change. But this just fills my lungs. Is everyone else breathe their share as they pass me by? Pass me.
Thank you to Nick from Hearts Like Lions for talking to us here at the Kill Rock Podcast. I really dig These Hands, their EP, and I think after hearing him explain the influence of the band, you know, I know interviewing him, I was kind of surprised by the fact that he said Switchfoot, but now listening to it, I hear that even more. I hear the Switchfoot influence. I heard the As Cities Burn influence. And I could understand, you know, the Circus Survive, but, you know, I don't know why the Switchfoot thing caught me off guard
But now that after hearing him say that, I hear it. And you know what? You got to check out this EP. We played three songs from it. These Hands, Wake Up, and Stranger. The three others are just as good. And I will say I think this might be one of the better bands coming out of the Southern California area, at least the unsigned ones, especially for this style. You know, a lot of the bands coming out of here that are signing to labels are more of the hardcore, metalcore, whatever core type bands. You don't hear a lot of these indie bands coming out of Southern California. And I know I went on a kind of a rant in the first portion of this episode about bands that aren't, you know, that are complaining about Spotify and about the you know, the payment, the royalties coming from it. And I'm not trying to knock I Am Empire for putting the royalty statement online. I'm not knocking anyone for doing that. The awareness, we need to create awareness of what these artists are being paid for, because they're not being paid for much. They work hard. They slave over these songs. And, you know, to make $3 for 500 or 50,000 plays on Spotify, to be paid 58 cents per band member for 500,000 internet streams, that's bogus and it's garbage. And there does need to be a change. And hopefully this change comes soon, whether it be through a new copyright act or, you know, Spotify raising their rates. I truthfully hope that, you know, change comes soon. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Kill Rock Podcast. Like I said earlier, my name is Keith Settles. This is the first of many. Next week, we are going to have Kyle Suries from the band Talking Trees, Michigan-based band. And we're going to talk what it is to be an indie band on the East Coast compared to what it's like to be an indie band on the West Coast, more specifically California, Southern California. And you know what? He's a big Tigers fan. I'm a big Angels fan. He's a big Red Wings fan. I'm a huge Ducks fan. So most likely we will be talking a little bit of sports. So until then, keep rocking and have a nice week. This is Talking Trees song, Darling Child.
This cloud of smoke exits her lungs, just like the barrel of a firing gun. And though her eyes are black and blue, she'll keep singing the whole night through. And darling child, open your heart and free your soul into the dark, and let the wicked pay for the sins they have made. You're gonna stand, you're gonna shine, you're gonna fly. So now she'll hide her pain in strangers' arms. She'll close her eyes and try to feel, and just for a moment, her pain's not real. And darling child, open your shaking, a rolling thunder in the heavens. She closes her eyes to a different side and hears her voice, it's gonna be alright. And she said she's sorry. Oh my God, she said she's so sorry. And she saw the light. And you're gonna stand, and you're gonna shine, and you're gonna.